This message may be a little different. I'm going to have a video after I start preaching. Hopefully it all works according to plan. God laid this message on my heart really 2 or 3 weeks ago. I want to mind the Lord. In Exodus chapter 17, we have the account of the beginning from verses 8 through around verses 16. I would point out that, you know, in our Sunday school class, we are studying the Bible. Dale was talking this morning about how he gave us some passages where the word was given and they were told to write it down in a book. Well, this is another one of those passages in verse 14, chapter 17. The Lord said, Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it. Remember it. Don't forget this. This is important stuff. That's how we got the word of God. They wrote it down for us. Isn't that good? But in this passage of Scripture, we have the account of Israel's first battle. This is the first battle as a nation they have ever fought. And it's important. You know, up to this point, they were sort of handed everything they needed. They were just, you know, delivered from Egypt with God's miraculous power, delivered through the Red Sea, given water from a rock, water when it was bitter. I mean, God just kind of gave them, but now they have to put some effort into it. There's a battle coming, and certainly this typifies our Christian life. There are battles that we're going to face. They come up all the time, and we have to be ready for them. But in this passage, we meet Joshua, very important. He's a bit of a man of war, general. He leads the battle. We have Joshua choosing out men. In verse 10, it says, so Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek. Verse 9, it says, Moses says to Joshua, choose us out men and go fight. So we meet Joshua, we don't meet the men, but we know that he chose certain men to go fight the battle. The Bible tells us that Moses goes up in verse 10, Moses, Aaron, and Hur go up to the top of the hill. Moses, Aaron, and Hur make their trip up to the top of the hill. Joshua and his men descend into the valley to fight them. So we got a plan. We have, the commission of Joshua to go. We have Moses' part in all this to pray. We have the effort that it takes. All of this is so important. It all fits together. Now, the battle's important, but I will draw your attention to verse 12. And verse 11 and 12, it says, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. This is from King James. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So all of the aspects of this battle, Joshua, the plan, the effort, the prayer, all of it is important. But something that really sticks out to me in this passage of Scripture is the fact that when Moses' hands grew tired, he had two men with him who got on either side and they held up his hands. Now, I don't know, I've been thinking about this thought about holding hands. Holding hands is a special thing, right? It is an important aspect of life. I do it a lot. I like to hold hands with my wife still. Sometimes when it's warmer out, we go for walks or we might be doing something and we'll hold hands. Isn't that neat? I still like to hold her hand. I hope you like to do that with your wife as well. You know, that just kind of reassures us. It kind of comforts us. After 35 years, we still want to hold hands. When I go pray with people, particularly in the hospitals and in nursing homes, there are many times I will join hands with them. Men, I will join their hand as in a handshake mode. And I will pray with them, agreeing with them, standing with them, interceding for them, joining their hands. Hand-holding is very important, don't you think? It shows solidarity. It shows some things that really are important. Validation, solidarity, agreement. I remember, if you've ever seen, and I'm sure if you have small children or maybe just a little bit older children, you've seen the movie Toy Story 3. Number 3 now, this is the sad one. At near the end of Toy Story 3, You know, they go to that play place, and then they escape, and they're in the garbage truck, and they're in that, you know, conveyor system that is going to take them. It's going to remelt all the plastic, and they fight, and they're trying to get away, and that bear, you know, something I didn't like about that bear from the beginning. He turns on them, and he sells them out, and he won't let them up out of that conveyor system. And here they are headed for that burning, molten fire that's going to melt all the toys into one spot to recycle them. And when they all know that they can't escape that anymore, what do? I know this. They hold hands, don't they? You know, the cowgirl grabs Buzz's hand, and he grabs the dinosaur's hand, and the dog stretches over, and Woody's kind of like, oh. You know, but then they realize there's nothing else we can do. They join hands, and they close their eyes. And you know what that's saying? That's saying, if we're going to go, we're going together. We're in this together. Well, I want to preach this morning a thought, and I hope I can preach this the way God has laid it on my heart. Joining hands. I want us to join hands. And I believe that there is no greater time when we need to join hands to show solidarity, to show that we stand together in this world that we're in. We are the church. And as the church, we need to join hands one with another, to validate each other, to agree with each other, to show that the standards we have, we agree with one another and what God is doing. It is so important. And yes, I have 3 points. Number one, I want us to join hands for a common enemy. Now, this is important that we get this. Because I read a quote one time, and I don't know who said it, but this quote said this: we have met the enemy, and it is us. Well, I want to tell you something. That may be true in other aspects of life, but know this today, that the enemy is not us. The enemy is not the church. We are not one another's enemy. We are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And you and I have a common enemy. And I want to call your attention to the fact that Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and spiritual darkness, rulers in high places. We, he says, because we have a common enemy, and the enemy is just as real as I am. The enemy is just as real as God is, and his name is Satan. And I want to tell you, he will come at you any way he can. He'll take many forms, but he is out to destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your testimony, and he'll do anything he can to that end. He will do anything he can. I mean, he'll come to you as a co-worker, as a television, as a computer, whatever, music. He'll try to get in your ear gates, your eye gates, your mind, any way that he possibly can. You and I need to understand we have a common enemy. Now, I want him to play that CD again. This is very unusual to stop when I start. But I want us to get this. You men will remember this. Watch this CD for this quick video. This is a National Geographic thing. You're going to love it.
This is just tough. you're trying to drag them out. They're dragging them out.
Guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. It's a big ferry between Barnes, Crocodile, and Buffalo.
Whoa! He swatted at him, kicked at him. He's kicking at him, look. He's kicking at him. Ooh, they got us surrounded.
Baby water buffalo. What a concept. Now in this passage here in Exodus The children of Israel have one purpose, and that purpose is to win the battle. Can I tell you today that we as the church, we are the church, those water buffalo stand for the church. And when we act like the church, pray like the church, call on the power of God like the church, there's nothing we cannot do. Our purpose is a common purpose. Jesus gave us the mandate. He said this, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our commander said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. That, number one, foremost, is our purpose. We are here to let folks know there is truth, there is light, there is a way to overcome all the world can throw at you. That is our purpose. Now, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said this in verse 10. He said, I hear there's divisions among you, but I want you to speak the same thing. I want you to have the same judgment, be of the same mind. Listen, that's the mandate of the church. We have a common enemy, and we have a common purpose. Our purpose has been mandated to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot forget that. Listen, if we don't know what we're supposed to do, we can't do it. If we don't understand how important the mission is, we won't want to share it. We need to get a hold of the fact that what we do is as important as anything that goes on in this world. We can change the destiny of the souls of men and women through the power of the gospel. Amen? Are you with me on this? I hope you are. Listen, don't let that video throw you. This is good stuff. We have the same purpose. Think about this. Think about it in Mark chapter 2. It's noise that Jesus is in this a certain place, in the house, it says. And it says this, that there was a man who was sick of the palsy, and four men carried him. And it says they came to the door, they couldn't get in. They realized that if they would go on the roof, tear up the roof, and let this man in, they could get him to Jesus. Can you imagine? Listen, these are four guys who were like-minded. They knew what they wanted to do. They were like-minded. They understood that what they needed to do, and they knew this man needed help. They were in like motion. They were all going in the same direction, right? They were like method. They knew that only Christ could meet this need. And when these four men got together, and they all got like-minded, like-motive, like-method, like-motion. Listen, when everything was together, they got this man to Jesus, and guess what happens? They see a like miracle. Jesus looks at this man, and they let him down through the roof, and he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, I'm not sure if that's what they were looking for initially. It may have been, but Jesus is illustrating to us that the greatest and most important miracle that anyone can experience is not a physical one, but it is a spiritual one. That is being saved, being born again, experiencing life that He gives. That's the greatest miracle. Folks say, well, we don't see a lot of miracles these days. Well, let me tell you something. When a soul is saved, listen, that is a miracle. Guess what happened? After He saved his soul, Pharisees are kind of indignant about the whole thing, and Jesus says, well, is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or to take up your bed and walk? And he says, so that you'll know I'm on the Sabbath. Get up and walk. And the man got up. Let me tell you, great things happen when the church realizes there's a common enemy, we have a common purpose, and when we band together as the church, hallelujah, there's nothing that can stop the church. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So listen, we can see great things happen when we come together. Amen. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14, Paul uses the word stand over and over. He says, stand, having done all to stand, that you might be able to withstand. The battle's coming, but he says to us, stand together. Alone, one in water buffalo would have been no match for that pride of lions, or even one lion. But when they got together and they stood together and they surrounded them as a unit, listen, they put the lions on the run. We have a common enemy. We have a common purpose. And we need to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Number three, we have a common need. We all possess the same common need. And this is, I guess I would say, my favorite part of this. Because first and foremost, we need to understand that the most pressing need of any human is the need of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Do you know that you will never meet anyone, you have never met anyone in your life that does not need Jesus?
Amen.
You've never met them. You never will, because every person we encounter, no wonder Jesus was said, lift up your eyes and look, for the fields are white on the harvest. You go to the mall, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look, for the fields are white on the harvest. People need Jesus. First and foremost, that is the most basic need that you and I possess. We are born in with a sin nature and we need to be saved. We all possess that need, but secondary to that, and what this illustrates to me, this passage here, is so important is this. Now get this, we need each other. Amen? We have a common enemy. We have a common purpose, but we have a common need. We need each other. Let me just say that Heather's testimony, her brief testimony before her second song, when she talked about Angie being a friend, that she was going through some things, isn't that what it's about?
Amen.
Man, I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes it seems like during the service, God does things and it verifies what you're thinking. And to me, that's what that was. Because listen, we need one another. We can't do this alone. We're in this together. And listen, those buffalo understood that, right? I mean, I never thought I'd use water buffalo as such an illustration, but those water buffalo understood the fact that they needed one another. You know, they kind of started coming over, but they didn't get strong and they didn't get bold until they were all standing together. No, in this passage, in verse 12, it says Moses' hands were heavy. He was doing all that he could to hold up his hands, to intercede for those fighting the battle. All of the strength, all of the energy, all the focus that he had, he knew what he needed to do, but there came a time when he could not hold his hands up any longer. He became weary. In come Aaron and Hur. And one gets on one side and one gets on the other, and they grab his hands and they hold them up for him. They steadied his hands. There are times when you and I get weary in the battle. Amen? There are times when you and I have troubles going on and outside forces are just battering our lives and the waves seem like they're coming in on the boat and all of those, you know, spiritual applications and pictures we can paint. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we just get tired. Sometimes we need somebody to come along beside us and say, listen, I just want to encourage you a little bit. I want to hold you up a little bit. I want to help you through the battle. You know what I notice here? That, you know, they didn't come to him and go, some leader you are. You can't even hold your arms up all day. You know, I mean, that don't take a whole lot of vision. It takes a lot of effort, though. But, I mean, they didn't exploit his weakness. They didn't kick him while he was down. Aaron and Hur didn't get out to the side and go, you know, they didn't do any of that. They saw a guy, a leader that was in need. And listen, this is for all of us. Somebody that was in need, and they decided they were going to fulfill the law of the scripture that had not even been read yet, and they were going to esteem someone else better than themselves. They were not going to only look on their own affairs, but they were going to care about somebody else in need. That's what Philippians tells us to do. Listen, we need to be committed to the success of others. Right? Not only our own success, but we need to rejoice in the success and the striving and the accomplishments that other people made. Pray for them. Encourage them. Help them. Mentor them. Help them find a way. We need to be excited when one of God's children does well.
Amen.
Not exploit their weaknesses or talk about them. We need to supplement their need. supplement. Let me give you some scripture from the New Testament. Romans 15:1. You who are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5:14. Just pull it out. Uphold the weak. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Christ is a burden bearer. And he says, cast your care on me. But listen, sometimes he comes to us in the form of a brother, a sister, and with their arm around you, with a card, with a call, with an encouraging word, and says, I am with you. I'm praying for you. I'm holding you up. I'm interceding on your behalf. Let me ask you something. Who can you supplement this week? Who can you energize a little bit this week? Who can you lift up before God and pray for? Who can you encourage along the way? Who can you send a card to and say, listen, I'm praying for you. I know, you know, you're going through a tough time, but I'm there for you. So often we forget about those in need. We really do. Those in nursing homes, those going through rehab, we forget about those people. Those are the times when God's people, when any people need us the most, is when they're hurting. And that's when we got to lift them up. Aaron and Hur, they're kind of, you know, again, I sort of laid the foundation here. We Joshua, great man, Moses, you know, the battle, the Amalekites, all of the story, all of the intercession. But Aaron and Hur are kind of like signposts to this whole story. It's kind of like they're behind the scenes. But listen, so much that is so effective is done under the radar. You know that? It really is. A card sent. So much that is so effective is done under the radar. Listen to this. They enabled Moses to endure longer than he could have without their presence there. You know, have you ever run across anybody that was going to quit? I just don't think I want to. Listen, there are people probably, and I don't know, I have nobody in my mind, but I'm under the leading of the Lord. I would say there's people in the pews today who have thought about quitting. Who felt like maybe they've come to the end of their rope, and it's just, listen, the Christian life is not always a bed of roses. That song Heather sung about, he didn't tell us that we'd never have problems. He didn't tell us we'd never have tears. He didn't tell us there wouldn't be trials along the way, but bless God, he didn't say that he'd go with us through all of it. There will be, and sometimes people have this idea, well, I'm a Christian, this should not happen to me. But let me tell you, that is not truth according to the Word of God. We have problems, but I want to tell you, I'd rather go through a trial with Jesus by my side than alone any day. Amen. Listen, we need each other. They enabled Moses when he couldn't go any further. They came beside him and they held him up and enabled him to endure longer than he could have without their presence there. That's what I want to do. I want to be somebody that enables folks to stay in this thing longer. Not only lead them there if that's what it takes, and I love to pray with people, but help keep them on the journey and strengthen them along the way. Give you some spiritual food, some nuggets to help you. You see, when we join hands, knowing there's a common enemy, when we join hands knowing there's a common purpose, when we join hands knowing there's a common need, not only of Christ, but that we need one another, guess what it does? It lightens the load on everybody.
Amen.
Doesn't it?
Amen.
Think about this. Think about, I was telling you that story in Mark chapter 2. Think about this. Think about if there was just two guys carrying that. I mean, two men, it would have been one guy. He'd have been dragging the front. Ooh, man. That would have got heavy. Two guys, it would have got heavy. Three, it would have been unbalanced. Maybe two in the front and one in the back. It would have been hard. But when they all four got together, were there obstacles? Yes, there were obstacles. It wasn't an easy feat. They get to the back door, there's no room. Hallelujah, when the house is full. It ought to be full when Jesus is in the house. And so they decide, listen, that's one obstacle, check that off. But thank God there's nobody on the roof, let's head up there. And so they get this man up on the roof. Well, listen, it looks like we can tear it up pretty easily. to Jesus. That is what we're to do. That is what we're to do. How can you get someone to Jesus? How can you make a difference in somebody's life? How can you encourage somebody? In closing, here's what I want to say to us as a church. I wrote a few things down here. I always write things down. I try to read my message, but I write things down when God lays them on my heart. I want to exhort us. You know, sometimes in the past, we've done it through the years, not just since I've been pastor, but we would join hands as a church, say on Wednesday night, and we would pray together. Isn't that good? I like that. Again, that's solidarity. That's together. That's a show that we're together in this. But spiritually today, we need to join hands. You see, there's so much, I said, that goes on to the teachers. We join hands with you. And we encourage you today to keep teaching. Because you're making a difference in young people's lives. You're teaching the greatest truth. Don't get away from teaching this in your classroom. Let's join hands on the Word of God. Let's join hands and teach those children the truth of the Word of God. And I guarantee it, if Jesus don't come in the next couple of years, somewhere down the road, one of these kids are going to come to you and say, I just want to let you know your teaching made a difference in my life. Dale was plugging for you in here as he's teaching the Word of God. How important it is to get our children into Sunday school, church. Don't let that go. Don't let down. Let's join hands in the importance of studying the Word of God. Leaders, deacons, preachers, trustees, all of us, we join hands. And we join hands in an effort that we know that what we do is the greatest work under the sun. And we need to move forward for Christ. The world may laugh at us. Our politicians may try to pass laws to keep us quiet. But thank God, the church moves forward. Amen. It never goes back. It will never be defeated. Jesus told us that. The gates of hell will not prevail. I'm standing on that promise. Satan can try what he wants, but the church will live on. Because Christ cannot be defeated. Let's join hands as workers together in these coming days with one vision to make a difference in somebody's life, to win a soul for Jesus, to take away any blue in the pew and put nothing but people there. That's our goal. That means we're doing what God has called us to do, every one of us. So we join hands as Aaron and Hur stood one on either side of Moses. And they joined hands because they had a common enemy. And in that passage, it was the Amalek. They joined hands with a common purpose that was for Israel, which stands in our day. We're the Israel now, the church. God's not done with Israel, but right now God's dealing with the church. The purpose is for victory. The purpose is to make a difference in people's lives. And we join hands with a common need. I need you. You need each other. Amen? We are in this together. We are the church. We are blood bought. Thank God. Walking separately from this world and heaven bound. That's the church. And God wants us to make a difference now. Let's get a song. That's the message. I want to close with this illustration. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Navigators. It's an organization that started back in the 50s by a man named Dawson Trotman. Dawson Trotman had a heart for helping people. He was always trying to encourage somebody, lift somebody up. On June 18, 1956, a freak boating accident happened on a lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers. A 50-year-old man and a little girl. And to keep the girl from drowning, the man held her head above water while the boat circled back to pick them up. They rescued the girl, but the man sank and drowned. You know who that man was? Dawson Trotman, the guy that began the organization called the Navigators. Dawson Trotman died the way he lived, always trying to lift others up. Isn't that good? Jesus gave his life to lift us up, to pull us out of the miry pit. Let you and I give ourselves to lift others up. Let's be encouragements to one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for the mercy of God, the grace that is sufficient, Lord, for every need. We know there are people in our church that are hurting. We think of Brenda Runyon, Lord, and the terrible trial that her and her family are going through and the sickness of her daughter, Teresa. We just ask you today, Lord, to shed your grace, pour your grace, invade her mind with your grace. Oh, how she needs you to lift her up today, God. Oh, Lord, we think of Joel Plaster, discouraged, Lord, with once again facing rehab, a long stint of rehab after another surgery. We just ask you to lift her up today. I know there's so many others. Lord, we just lay them before you. And we ask you today that we would have a burden as a church for lost people to know what our mission is, to understand the importance of what God has called us to do. That we as a church, Lord, would have a burden for one another. That we would fulfill the law of Christ by fulfilling what Paul has laid out for the duties of the church. To not only look on our own affairs, but care about the affairs of others. And not do things through strife or vainglory. That those of us who are strong bear the infirmities and the weaknesses of those that are weak. To encourage one another. God, give us that burden. Help us to be those that would pull others and help them to stay in this race longer. To be encouragers, Lord. Just touch our hearts today. And Lord, to help us to stand together, knowing we have a common enemy, a common purpose, and a common need as we join hands spiritually today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.